Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they stay there.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3. Andrew is out this week. He is out in the Gulf of America as SpaceX is going to splash down here this afternoon, and one of the astronauts promised that if he came out there, they'd bring him back a space rock. So once he gets that, he'll be back with us next week. But on the line, we do have State Representative for District 2, Alex Andrade. Alex, I heard the kerfuffle with your rap music and what the music you like to come in on, and I think that probably is more in line with you and I's view of what old school rap might be, or nostalgic rap maybe, yeah, for us anyways.
Yeah, the classic song Win reminds me of, you know, being a little sweaty in the middle school cafeteria for a dance, you know. So yeah, that was what I had in mind for sure.
There we go. Speaking of winning, you are an alumni of the University of Florida, a number one seed in the NCAA tournament and the SEC tournament champion. So you got them going all the way or into the Final Four.
And when our sessions start in March instead of later in the year, I'm so inundated that I doubt I'm even going to fill out a bracket this year. But yeah, I went to Florida during the time of like Joakim Noah and Al Horford and Chandler Parsons, and so it's good to see a new coach kind of like, you know, step into those shoes that Billy Donovan left. I think Todd Golden's the first Florida basketball coach to win the SEC championship, not named Billy Donovan.
Right.
So very excited for Todd Golden. And if you asked me to name a single player on our current team, I couldn't, because I'm just that checked out. But
fair enough. You know,
it's always exciting to see your alma mater do pretty well. I hear they're not the number one seed, and I guess maybe that was incorrect. But were a mistake on the part of someone putting together the bracket that somebody else is the number one seed. But
no, yeah, that's
cool, being
the Auburn Tigers.
Number one seed, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah. How did Florida do in Auburn this year?
Well, we won't talk about that. Anyway, so it's week three of session in Tallahassee.
week three.
Yeah, we lost to you guys.
Week three.
What's going on?
week three in session for a budget chair. That means I'm working on finalizing my overall agency budget, and then also putting together these lists of special project requests. So what a lot of people think about when they think about crafting the budget is like the special projects. They're called special projects, like these requests that local entities make of their legislators to file, to bake in as part of the budget. So like for context, my budget is about $46 billion. That obviously includes like 30 plus billion just to manage Medicaid, our Medicaid programs. But there's tens of millions of dollars that go towards these things called special projects. It's a small amount of money in the grand scheme of the budget, but it means a lot to these local communities and organizations. So I have a certain amount of money in my budget carved out that I can use just in these special projects. And now it's trying to figure out how to make a, you know, 160 legislators, that's 120 House members and 40 senators, figuring out how to make as many of them happy as possible to be able to go home and have wins that they, you know, be able to like have their name on a portion of the budget. To say they brought some kind of money home. So
right. I know that's always a struggle, because everybody always needs more money and or state money to kind of get a local project across the finish line. John, let's get traffic on the fives real quick, and then we got a couple commercials, and then we'll come back and dive into this a little deeper.
No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Jordan B. Peterson, We Who Wrestle With God Tour.
If you say the truth and nothing else, you'll have an immense adventure as a consequence. You won't know what's going to happen to you, but the truth will reveal the world the way it's intended to be revealed. And the consequence for you will be that you'll have the adventure of your life.
Live at Pensacola Bay Center, March 19th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's. The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay. He is tied up at Waffle House right now, arguing with the new AI waitress that they are implementing at Waffle Houses across country, and he can't seem to get them to figure out what scattered, smothered, and covered really means. But once he gets that settled, he'll be back with us here on air next week. On the phone, we've got State Representative Alex Andrade from District 2, covering southern half of Escambia County and the coastline of Santa Rosa County. We were talking a little bit about what's going on in Tallahassee as they are in the third week of the legislative session over there. And we're talking about, you know, Alex is over a $42, $43 billion budget silo, the largest in the state for healthcare, and trying to incorporate some local projects for municipalities and counties here in the Gulf Coast. So, Alex, I'll let you kind of carry on where we left off.
Yeah, thanks, Walker. And for context, I think this year there was about $600 million in requests for these local projects in healthcare. I oversaw a different budget the last 2 years. It was the transportation and economic development budget, smaller, like $15 billion. But by comparison, let's say I had $1 billion. I had about $1.2 billion in requests from local governments for road infrastructure last year. And I had about, let's say, $100 million to divvy up. So like less than 10% of these projects normally get funded. And even worse on the general revenue side, like all the arts and culture stuff, I had $800 million in requests last year, and I had about $25 million to divvy up amongst those requests. So those were even tougher. But yeah, it's you know, just this process, and that's how we get certain things funded. That's, you know, how I worked with Senator Broxton last year on like the Bay Bluffs Park project, and then obviously the Baptist Hospital, the $7 million for Baptist Hospital, and then different projects for, you know, the area, a couple projects for UWF and Pensacola State College and down the line. So yeah, I mean, it's a small amount of money in the grand scheme of the budget, but it takes up the most time because it's the item that all legislators are advocating about.
Right.
So working through that and then working through this thing called Proviso, which is when we give our budget over to the governor, the executive branch, we also put in language in the budget directing how certain money can be spent or should be spent. So we have this whole other, like, separate document that's essentially law for 1 year. So it's law that only controls, like, that money for that year. So working through Proviso, you know, it can be several hundred pages worth of Proviso language that we put in place to, like, direct how money's going to be spent once it gets turned over to agencies. So working through that, trying to figure out, you know, what exactly needs to be in there, what we need to do to address it. It's just a lot of moving parts right now. On top of that, like, you have to match up all of that language between the House and the Senate. So we got to make sure that our Senate counterparts agree with that language. In addition just to the numbers in the budget that we also have to get the Senate to agree to. We'll be releasing these budgets in a week or two. So it's just a lot of work's going into it right now.
Yeah. I can only imagine. And you got only so much you can really divvy out and try and determine amongst that many people what's the most important and what needs to get funded. I know that, we've got a House District 3 special race coming up, a congressional race coming up, and I know that in those local projects, Milton, I don't think, has been able to secure any so far. Has that kind of been lack of, they haven't had a state representative, kind of covering that area because we're waiting on someone to get elected to take that seat?
Yeah. While I do cover a good chunk of Santa Rosa, like I cover all of Gulf Breeze and the whole coastline of Santa Rosa County, I don't cover the north end of the county. That was left to House District 3. Unfortunately, they don't have a state representative right now, and there's really no one over in Tallahassee to advocate for them in the House. So they didn't have any projects that were submitted for funding this year just because of that absence. The special election is coming up in April. I'm personally supporting a gentleman named Nathan Boyles. I think I've known Nathan for a long time, and I think he's got the right temperament, perspective, and knowledge already to where, like, he's the most capable of kind of hitting the ground running. So that's why I'm supporting him. And hopefully folks show up for this congressional election on April 1st. I know it's a big deal, but if you happen to live in Florida House District 3, you're also going to have this primary on your ballot if you're a Republican. So probably a tougher election to manage by Kathy Villain, because she has a primary election portion and a general election portion on the same ballot. But if you live in House District 3, especially, get out and vote. And obviously, please get out and vote if you live in Congressional District 1, because, we need everybody's voices heard before we hopefully send up Jimmy Paternus to go be our congressman. No election's guaranteed. I'm rooting for Jimmy, and hopefully folks show up and support him in this election.
Yeah. And for the voters out there listening, I know that Jeremy Evans was on yesterday filling in for Andrew, and he had Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender on talking about some of the deadlines or dates, locations of polling places and all that, because early voting is going to roll out here soon. Mail ballots, I believe, have I know they've gone out because I got mine and filled it out and sent it back in already. But, or if you want to go on day of, just make sure that your polling location is going to be open and it hasn't changed or moved. And Robert talked some about how they're going to send out notifications on that. So just make sure you're aware and got all the information from their websites and or call their office to make sure you know what you're doing when you go to vote on April the 1st. Let's see, what else do we got here, Alex? I guess just out of curiosity, how does this work? You've got someone coming into the House from House District 3. Are they getting sworn in on, April 2nd and kind of have a few weeks in the legislature to try and get something done? Or is it more of, they're going to come in and try and assist of what's already kind of in motion and as you get closer to the end of the legislative session?
Neither. I advocated and I was hopeful that we could have the primary election for House District 3 on the same primary election schedule as Congressional District 1. that would have meant that the general election would have been on April 1st. Unfortunately, all we have is the primary election April 1st. So after that primary, the winner of that primary in House District 3 will have a general election, I think, a month or two later. So whoever is stepping into House District 3, hopefully, like I said, Nathan Boyles, like, he won't be able to be sworn in until after session's over.
Gotcha. So, let me get traffic on the five real quick, Alex, with John, and then we'll be right back.
No accidents to report right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Sorry about that, Alex.
Oh, no, all good. I was just going to say, so whoever wins that seat will have one extra session. So they could potentially serve for 9 total sessions. They just won't have 10.
I got you.
So they'll get elected in the summer and then have several months lead up for their first session in 2026.
I got you. I know that in the news, or at least it's made headlines, and I'm sure is probably popular among voters, at least in theory, is kind of Governor DeSantis's, you know, pitch or thrown out there of no property tax. And has that been discussed at all in session, or is that something that we should expect to come out of this session, or something that we maybe look at and being kind of figured out in the next legislative session? And how would that even work, or do you even know what the proposal is at this point on something like that happening?
Well, so I personally think that eliminating property tax is a great idea, but I think it would require a constitutional amendment. So I think what you might see this year is some more commissioning of additional studies, figuring out exactly how we could make ends meet if we do eliminate the property tax. There would have to be some type of revenue shift, right? I don't buy the argument that you can't eliminate property tax without replacing that revenue with something else. What that looks like remains to be seen. I think what we have to figure out before it does potentially go on the ballot in 2026 is what would be the most viable option to replace that revenue. So I think you'll see a combination of putting it on the ballot, which I think it's a question that deserves to be answered by the voters. Like I said, I think it's wrong and un-American that you're renting your property in perpetuity from the government. I think we should be able to own our property outright without concerns about tax liens. But replacing that revenue is going to be the big question. The first thing, most local governments, ad valorem doesn't cover even fully their fire and law enforcement budgets. So the ad valorem that's collected, while it goes to those kind of critical services, it doesn't fully cover all of it. You know, a local government's revenue is made up of 20 different taxes plus property tax plus a bunch of franchise fees and other fees that they can charge on telecom and utilities, et cetera. While it's not all the budget for local governments, they're not going to go bankrupt overnight. It can account for between 40% and 60% of a local government's budget. Can't obviously take that much money away from the local government without replacing it with something. What that looks like is probably some type of a sales tax or some type of a value added tax, a VAT tax. Mm-hmm. It remains to be seen. It's a big, big math problem.
Right.
What I learned from the fire district's discussions in Santa Rosa County is any change, no matter how well-intentioned or how philosophically correct it is going to meet with a lot of pushback. Someone who's not paying some type of tax right now is going to be mad if they're required to pay a different tax. It'll be interesting, but I do think that it would have support on the ballot. And so if it does go on the ballot as a constitutional amendment, I'd give it odds that it would pass.
Yeah, I've been curious about it. And, you know, you hear a lot about, you know, private property owners, property tax, and not having to pay for a house you own. And so I'm curious, in this conversation, is this also planning to extend to, you know, commercial businesses and their property tax that they're paying? Because I would imagine the governor wants to spur economic investment into the state. What a way to do that if a business knows they're not going to come in and have to pay some sort of property tax on an investment for a new company. But I guess we'll wait and see how it rolls out. But thanks for calling in today, and hope you have a good rest of the week over in Tallahassee. And War Eagle and go Gators.
Thanks, Walker.
I'm Chris Foster. More than 400 people are reported to have been killed in Israeli airstrikes in Gaza.
After 2 months of relative calm, the bombardment of Gaza resumed overnight. The Israeli military began striking what it called Hamas terror targets after talks failed to extend the ceasefire. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office said the militants are refusing to release hostages.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. A federal judge in D.C. gives the Trump administration until noon to provide more information about deportation flights he'd ordered stopped.
The Trump administration deporting more than 200 Venezuelans, it says, are members of the violent Tren de Aragua gang to El Salvador over the weekend, citing the Alien Enemies Act. The federal judge blocking the deportations, calling for planes with the deportees to turn around. The DOJ arguing the move was not enforceable.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. President Trump speaks by phone with Russia's President Putin today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a little bit chilly so far this morning. We've got 37 degrees right now and mostly clear skies. An international visitors program that previously brought professionals to Pensacola to learn is on pause thanks to federal budget cuts. The program that administered that program says it could mean big economic impacts to our area.
So that means hotel rooms. We're not getting those funds in our community. The visitors all, you know, eat downtown, do shopping. We take them to Walmart so they can buy more suitcases, so we know they're shopping. All of that has stopped. The flights into the area for these three groups.
Jenna Melancon is the executive director of Gulf Coast Diplomacy. She says not only is that program paused, but $65,000 in invoices for already provided services aren't being paid. The group claims the halt to this program could have more than a $700,000 local economic impact loss. The International Visitor Leadership Program had received bipartisan congressional support for more than 80 years. Pensacola was one of 74 sites across the country that participate. Yeah, the state has released job growth numbers for 2024 in Pensacola. There was an increase in 2,500 jobs from December of 23 to December of 24. Florida Commerce says the industry leading in job growth is professional and business services, which added 1,100 jobs during that time. The unemployment rate in our area was 3.2% in December, up 0.1% from the year before. Statewide, Florida's labor force surpassed 11.1 million as of January. Stranded NASA astronauts Williams and Butch Wilmore are on their way home. They're on board a SpaceX Dragon capsule and will splash. And those words from Commander Nick Hague, who's leading their mission, their final mission. Williams and Wilmore originally departed for the 10-day mission in space, but technical problems caused their Boeing Starliner to return to Earth without them. They've now been on board the International Space Station since last June. That splashdown is expected just after 5 p.m. tonight. The University of West Florida is receiving some heavy funding in their robotics department. We learn more with News Radio's Austin Price.
The University of West Florida's Institute for Human Machine and Cognition received a $478,000 grant for advanced robotics platforms. The grant from the Defense University Research Instrumentation Program of the Office of Naval Research will allow IHMC to purchase specialized equipment. Faculty members Dr. Robert Griffin, Dr. Matt Johnson, and Dr. Haki Aran Saville collaborated on the application with only 64 grants awarded nationwide. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. That report, it is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing very smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays on 98 just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, but nothing else to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Plenty of sunshine today with a high near 73 degrees. Looking lovely as we go overnight, dropping to 49 degrees. For Wednesday, nice sunny weather, high near 76. Wednesday night showers moving in. We will have some wet weather through the overnight period, low near 54. For Thursday, showers could linger as late as 5 a.m. before moving out. 65 degrees for the afternoon on Thursday night temperatures dropping near 42. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got 44 degrees in Pensacola, 44 in Gulf Breeze, 40 in Milton. Your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens.
I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable. Now taking a look at our market update. From Your Money Now, by Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, retail giant Walmart says that it's found a new buy now, pay later partner. The company says it's reached a deal with Klarna to replace Affirm as the company's exclusive provider of fast credit installment loans. Klarna will now replace Affirm as Walmart's official buy now, pay later partner. The announcement comes shortly after Klarna announced that it had filed paperwork for its highly anticipated initial public offering. And in the oil markets, crude oil is extending its gains for the third straight session amid escalating tensions in the Middle East. Israel has reportedly launched a series of airstrikes in the Gaza Strip. Those strikes come after hostage negotiations with Hamas came to a halt. In a statement, though, Hamas is warning that the moves put the fate of remaining captives in jeopardy. Meanwhile, investors are also taking in some positive economic data from both the U.S. and China. Brent and WTI crude futures are seeing gains of over 1%. On Wall Street, stock futures are pointing lower, and that is Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy, or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad Pegyl is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
You know, one of the things that I appreciate about Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty is they do all these little things, and all the little things add up to big differences in the results. And there's one kind of example of that that's always stuck with me that Christina told me about. And she says, look, when somebody comes and looks at one of my houses and they don't make an offer, what I do is I call the agent and I say, you know, hey, I saw the person looked at the house and, you know, didn't make an offer. What do they think? Or what didn't they like? Or, you know, what happened? And then let them talk. And they'll say, well, the price was too high. Or they'll say, well, it didn't fit my family's needs. Or I didn't like the layout of the living room. Or, you know, whatever. And then what Christina learns from that is what might be the impediments that knowing this can help her sell that house in the future. Or, oh, well, we can fix that. If we fix that, would they be interested? Maybe they would, but you might even be able to turn it into a sale. I mean, that's a little thing. It's sort of obvious. Everybody should do it. But she actually does that. And it's all those little things that make for big results. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Cox Cars and Crawfish is back on Saturday, April 12th. It's a car show and a crawfish boil to benefit the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation. The gates at Five Flags Speedway open to the public at 10 a.m., and you can bring your family out to wander around and see some incredible cars. There's trophies, door prizes, a 50-50 raffle, a free movie on the big screen, the People's Choice Awards, and, of course, Crawfish. The Cat Crew's going to be there. We'll be bringing the fun and games. We'll look forward to seeing you at Cox Cars and Crawfish 2025.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay here on News Radio 92.3. Andrew has gone to audition for a Taylor Swift Shake It Off music video that she's filming. He showed up in a pink Travis Kelce jersey and he was asked to go and shake it off somewhere else. So he won't be in the music video, but he will be back with us next week. On the phone now, we have Kevin Adams, school board member for District 1. Kevin, thanks for calling in today and chatting with us a little bit about what's going on in Escambia County School District.
Well, good morning, Walker.
Kevin, I wanted to have you on and kind of, it's spring break, so I know you're supposed to not be working this week, but I figured to have you on and kind of, you know, just kind of fill us in on how things are going this year with the school district. We got a few more weeks left until May, rolling into graduations and all that. I know y'all been hard at work trying to make sure that we have another good school year here in Escambia County.
Yeah, Walker, and this last rating cycle, all schools were at least a C or above, which is great. The only one we had that was still a D was the one preparatory that's being rolled out, Charter USA, but I'm looking forward to them that they're going to see this time, so we don't have to worry about the state actions. And I tell you, it's kind of big for education all the way from the top of the hill to the bottom, because President Trump's he's going to give it to the Department of Education. They'll block the right down straight to each state, so each board of education and each state will decide how to use those funds. So there's a lot of changes going on, but for our school district, we added the sixth grade to Pedro Park, a sixth grade to West Coast College, the very popular. It went very successful with grades of doing fine for the kids there. A lot of parents like to have that K-8 option, and I'm one of the board members, but I hope we can do it really quickly. Longleaf Elementary will be the first K-8 in Skin County. And we also have a new magnet program for PHS. This is probably the one that's going to be a preparatory for ID. I think I gave the name. I don't know what it is now, but basically that's what it is. It's what a parent has to apply to be in. It's a magnet program. So it's going to be like a district enrollment type deal. It's going to be just like a magnet school. We've got a whole wing at Pensacola Elementary set aside for that program to feed into the ID program. So that's a great situation for parents that want to choose that. So I'm all for making choice for these parents and students.
Yeah, and that's always a struggle. You want to create as much choice as you can. And, you know, it's also been a battle with parents and guardians taking the option of the vouchers that the state's given, which does give parents more of a choice, but that might be a choice that could be out of the public school system, and so then resources are taken away. But I think it seems that with the school board and Superintendent Leonard, y'all have been very creative in some of these approaches you're looking to take in kind of making this all work for parents as we're moving into this kind of new chapter of public education here in the state of Florida. Kevin, we're going to get traffic on the fives and then a couple commercials, and we'll be right back.
That's right. Take a look at the roadways right now. Not seeing any accidents to report to you. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing very smoothly this morning. Let's see, no delays either. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Splash Magazine covers the coast light, the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News, 850-932-8986, or visit gulfbreezenews.com online.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline nasal spray.
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it. Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use directed.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Local talk during the morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's been a hard day's night. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay. And just before that break, we were on the phone with school board member for District 1, Kevin Adams. And Kevin, we were discussing kind of some of these new programs to kind of maybe extend elementary schools into the sixth grade, or creating K through eight schools here in Escambia County. One that you mentioned was the what will be a middle school magnet program at Pensacola High School. That's going to be, I can't remember, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, if it's this upcoming August or the next school year, but you know, parents will apply, kind of a similar IB-ish program, but middle school there on PHS campus. But it'll be two separate facilities that you'll have them separated from the high school students. But just kind of maybe expand on that a little bit, because that seems pretty interesting.
Yeah, now it won't be for sixth graders here in the game. We may add them later. It's going to be seventh and eighth graders.
Okay.
So it'll be just like the Black to West Florida or MB Cook or Brown College or the IB program. So, and so I'm excited about that, because that gives parents if their child wants to be an IB program, this curriculum will be a perfect pipeline for them to apply for the IB program. And what I understand is if they do well in that program, then they automatically can go right into the IB program. So very excited on that, because you're right, with the bachelor's, we have to offer more choice for our parents, and that's what the superintendent's doing, and my fellow board members. Now, we also, we're doing good work at those schools that got the students with achievement gaps. We're working well with the Children's Trust, bringing in good programs. Because what we know for those children who live in poverty, they need all those wraparound services to bring them as much back up to their grade level as we can. So I've got Pine Forest, what I call Community Partnership Abilities. This on Rome, we've got different names for the basis that's similar to that product the state has, which has been so successful at CA-wise. So Pine Forest is one, W Middle is one, Global is going to be one, so I think if I add on two per year, and so with the combination of more choice programs plus doing what we can for those students that are got that achievement gap, you know, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, and I know that CA Wise, they were the first, I guess, community school or wraparound service school in the county, and they have had a tremendous success, and so it's been really neat to see not only expand to some other elementary schools, but also go into a middle school and a high school as well with those wraparound services, yeah. And then the trust coming in and saying, we know this model works, we've got dollars here that can supplement that for the school district, and so let's find a way to roll out some more of these in our, you know, highly stricken poverty areas in the county to help those children, you know, walk in the door and feel like they're at a place that they can get what they need, and also get an education at the same time.
Yeah, you're correct about that. And I tell you, also, he has been doing a great job of having our schools in good order, good discipline, good order. And you know, you can see the effects of it, because the grades have been rising at all our schools. Now, I have to worry about the grade in the state, you know, because they use a slide rule at times, you know, so they like to ensure they got the same number of low performing schools, you know, being with their cross state, and they'll change the calculation of the time on how they're doing it. So if they keep it like this last year, I think we're going to be okay. So that's what I'm saying there. But Mr. Leonard, his staff, and all the teachers and educators are working hard. And it's showing some good work being done.
That's great. I know another big thing that came out of this past election cycle was the renewal of the half-cent sales tax that we've had in place, I think, since the late 90s, early 2000s. And that's how we have our sales tax is 7.5%. So that 0.5% goes to the school district for infrastructure or rebuilding of schools or replacement of equipment. So maybe talk about that and some of the projects that are being funded, not only in your district, but around the county.
Well, you know, as you know, District 1, we got high-growth areas in District 1. And we just purchased land out here in Beulah. You know, because it's hard to get fine land now. I think the days of us stopping by my road finding 100 acres for a school or 75 acres is over.
Right.
So I think we might have to go more vertical, you know, in the future because it was tough just to find enough land. Because what we're going to do in Beulah is Beulah Elementary, you know, it's got quite large. It's one of the largest in, schools in Scampa County for elementary school, along with Kingsville up there in Camp Comet. They're both at capacity. So the thought pattern is we'll have a K-3 at that Beulah Elementary. The new school will do the, it'd be K-2 at Beulah Elementary, and then it'd be K-3-5 at the new school. So if it wasn't a half-cent sales tax, we would not be able to, you know, to meet these challenges because the state of Florida does not provide any money for construction and maintenance. That's us. So we're thankful to our citizens because without that, we couldn't build the new schools, we couldn't keep up the old schools, and, you know, Walker Hall HVACs go down and all those maintenance issues. And so that half-cent sales tax does a lot of wonderful things for the Scampa County School District. So, well, I've never been a believer in those property taxes. So I've heard about an increase on property taxes. And as long as we get the half cent sales tax, I believe we should be able to not push that burden on the property owners. So,
yep.
So it's great work. We have to immediate reviews every project, make sure it conforms to that referendum. And a lot of the school districts, they also have the half cent sales tax because they have similar issues trying to meet those challenges with growth and maintenance.
Right. And the good thing about sales tax is everybody that's coming here on vacation or coming to see family, they're paying that as well when they're at the store buying groceries or getting gas or all that good stuff. So it's not only just, you know, put on the backs of us Scampa County citizens, it's also the tours that we have coming through as well, which is always good to have somebody else chipping in while they're here in town. But John's get traffic on the flash real quick.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service date. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. There's still no accidents to report to you right now. Still looking at I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly this morning. Just seeing some minor delays if you're coming from Pace on Highway 90 as you approach the Scenic Highway 9 miles split off right there. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. And this is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay. We've got Kevin Adams, school board member of District 1, on the line with us. And, you know, Kevin, you talked about how you never voted to increase property tax on the taxpayers, which I think is important and something that you've, you know, always promised to do for the voters in Scampa County. We were talking in the last half hour about the governor and the state legislature, you know, kind of exploring this idea of a referendum of doing away with property tax in the state of Florida. Is a school district having any conversations about what that looks like, what that would mean, how things would work if something like that were to pass? How are there any conversations going on that to figure out how we would close that gap if property taxes went away?
Well, I know the districts are talking, we're worried about it, but how actually you just increase the sales tax, you know, the consumption tax. So, you could put another half penny on there or maybe more. So, we'll have to wait and see what happens then. And, yeah, as you know, Walker, not every bill makes it all the way through. I mean, there's hundreds of bills that are opposed every year, and then they'll kind of fail. But I am not opposed to doing away with property taxes because, for me, especially for homesteaders, you know, if you get a homestead, and you get in your retirement years, you shouldn't have to pay rent to be in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps they'll modify it like that, but it won't be up to everybody. You know, property taxes, you know, you got commercial properties, you got people who own houses, you know. To me, the logical place to do it is at homestead, right. The homestead tax.
Yeah, so, I kind of see it maybe going that way as well, unless there's some other magic that I don't know about, but it seems like that might be the most logical thing, just, you know, from 30,000 foot thinking about it.
I was talking to a retired educator a while back, and she said, well, you know, our entire school district, you know, I had decent retirement, but every year costs keep going up and up and up, taxes keep going up and up and up, and it really puts a burden on those who are, you know, not blessed to have a whole lot of money. So I support them going that direction. But now, that's my superintendent, that's board members. I can't speak for them, so I'm just speaking myself as District 1 school board member.
Right.
But yeah, so we'll see. Another thing they have down in going on in Tallahassee is a term limits for school board members. You know, they go as a referendum. I always thought that was probably the constitutional way to do it. I don't believe the other way it was constitutional. So term limits for county commissioners and school board members. So I would be able to run one more time, and then that would be it with the current term limits. Me and Paul Pesco and David Williams. So it would be interesting to see, but referendum, I always supported referendums, you know, that would I agree with it or not. I always would go to Jess on referendums because I'm not going to stop the people from deciding the issue. So I think that's a good way to decide. So I'm having a statewide referendum and see if they get away. Now, it's going to be challenging our school boards because, as you know, Walker, it's got about 30% or more turnover rate. The school board members have got a high turnover rate, don't get paid as much as county commissioners and all that. So it'll be interesting if all the counties, all the six or seven counties will be able to have school board members up together and they have to appoint some, you know?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to follow. But Kevin, thank you so much for calling in today and updating us on what's going on in Scammy County School District, and hope you have a good rest of the week and good rest of your spring break, too.
Well, thank you, Walker. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely.